Well, may we turn our Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 7. We pick up our subject on our spiritual clinic. How well are we? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Now, everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And the Lord will bless his word to our hearts again this evening. A young lad was playing in the basement when his mother called him to lunch. And there was no answer. She called again and again, and still there was no answer. Finally, she went down and dragged him up with the words, "Why did you not answer me when I called?" He said to her, "I didn't hear you the first two times you called." You know, in the old days of Morse code, one time there was a job that was advertised for anybody that knew Morse code to appear at a certain place and come for an interview. And so quite a number of young men applied, and as they were sitting in their waiting room, suddenly one of the young men got up and went into the inner office. And he was there a few minutes, and he came out and he told the others that he had the job. What had actually happened was, as the men were sitting in the room, very quietly a Morse code message came into the room saying that whoever heard it, they were to enter into the main office for the interview. And only the one young man heard the message that was being given to them. The problem with many people today in the world is they can't hear very well. Present company excluded, of course. But, you know, it is quite a problem. It's not because they have a defect in their hearing. It's because what they hear really has no effect in their lives. And that may be because there's too much that is going on in their lives, and there's so many voices and noise and going on that they don't hear, and there's so much information coming in, which is a major problem today, that we can't concentrate on the message being given to us. Or it may be because there's not maybe too much between the ears to stop the flow as it goes through, you know? And that's usually what the Bible calls people that are foolish. Or maybe that, of course, their ears are closed, lest they should hear something that is going to disturb them or make them make some changes in their life. ABC television phoned quite a number of people after a news broadcast to find out what people actually took in of the news. What they found out was that 51% did not remember anything that the news was talking about. Only one out of 19 could only remember something, and it was usually just the first item in the news, and after that, they lost it completely. None are so deaf as those that will not hear. And continuously in the life of the Lord Jesus, he brought the people up short with the words, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Spiritual deafness is almost a greater problem as spiritual blindness, as we saw this morning. And sin will block the ability to listen lest we be reproved. We recognize that prejudice will close the ears as well, so that we cannot hear, so that we won't change our lives. Pleasure will destroy the desire to hear, lest we be in some way or another curbed in our pursuits. Yet so much of life comes through the ear gate, and it is being assailed all the time, as we said, by many people, many advertisers, many places that are constantly talking to us and telling us what we need and what we can't get along without and what we deserve and what is necessary for this 21st century. And it's not uncommon as well, of course, to see people walking around with little buds in their ears listening to something that nobody else has any idea what they're listening to. And sometimes their mouths are going and you see them as well, and they're obviously singing along with some music and nobody else can understand what's going on. The Lord Jesus talked quite a lot about hearing and the importance of hearers. And he said basically there are two kinds of hearers. Those that hear but do not in any way believe what is said. And James tells us that. He said, be doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving yourselves. To hear the voice of God or to hear the word of God brings obviously a solemn responsibility. And that is why very often people do not want to hear, because they know if they hear, they've got to respond to it in a manner that's pleasing to the Lord. Very often we hear people say, you know, well, I just love God to speak to me plainly. Well, God might speak to you plainly and tell you to get up from here in Peterborough or wherever you are and go to Borneo as a missionary. And therefore, people aren't too sure whether they want God to hear, to speak to them quite that clearly. So it isn't. But, you know, we see in Hebrews 4 that the message they heard did not benefit them because it did not meet with faith. In other words, what they heard was not to be believed completely. You see, we have a fact that you are here this evening. We have a fact that I am preaching. But whether you're listening or not is a matter of faith, you know. I believe you're listening, but I'm not sure, of course, you know. It is so easy to become hard of hearing. Sometimes old age just catches up with us, or the person has spent a great deal of time in a noisy atmosphere. When I was an apprentice, I worked in a power station with high spinning turbines, and there's a certain area of my hearing that I'm not very good at. My wife keeps telling me more and more about it, so she does. But you know, that's you're just too much noise in a certain frequency. Or someone hears the same thing over and over and over again, and they eventually learn how to shut it out. And so it is very often with God's word that we hear week after week. If we do not act upon it, then eventually we become deaf to what it is saying to us, and we lose the message that is spoken. Yet we will be called to give an account of everything that we have heard and what we have done with what we have heard in our lives. And so in Jeremiah 11, God says, they refuse to hear my words. Though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. And God says, if you will not listen to me, then there comes a time when maybe I will not listen to you. And then we see, secondly, there are those that hear and do believe. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we read, when you received the word of God, which you heard, you welcomed it not as the word of men. And the Apostle Paul is praising them for their amazing ability to receive God's word clearly. There's a marked difference between those that hear and those that cannot hear God speaking to them. The first group want to be understood. The second group, of course, hope that it cannot be understood. The one accepts what they have heard, and obviously the other rejects it. The one acts on what they have heard, the others turn their back upon it. And so as a result, we see that time and time again, that ability to hear what God says is so critical to us. we read of the Lord Jesus in Hebrews 5 that he offered up prayers and supplications and was heard for his godly fear. So there comes a relationship between what we hear and what we act upon. Only as a person trusts in what the Lord hears or what the Lord says will they be able to hear clearly. I have a little text that's up on the wall of our house, and it said, "We need to be silent so that we can hear the whisper of God." What a message that is. Eh? We need to be silent so we can hear the whisper of God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ illustrates this truth by a very simple parable that we know all too do well, and that is of the two builders, right? And that ability that Christ had to be able to take profound truth and to put it in such simple terms of everyday living was quite remarkable. And so he takes people from the abstract into concrete evidence. And so there are some fundamental rules that are governing how a person builds and how a person listens as well. And it has to be done right, or sooner or later, there will be some serious problems that will arise. The first that we hear, of course, is the wise builder. He believed in the ability to build on a solid foundation. He was convinced that it was necessary for the building, and he was sure that it was there for his benefit. It wasn't just there to be a problem. Maybe some of you have had that experience of digging a ditch or a foundation and you come across a rock and you think, oh no, I didn't need that at all. This man actually looked for the rock to build upon. And nowadays, the larger the building, of course, the deeper it has to go. And some buildings have to go down more than 100 feet to find bedrock in order to build upon it. And so he spared no trouble in getting to the solid rock. It was hard work, but it was good fittings. And as because he was a wise builder, he was diligent and he was faithful in his search. And even though no one would even see what he had built upon afterwards, yet he knew that it was necessary. You know, the same applies to us as well. If we are going to build our lives upon a solid rock, then we got to make sure what that rock is. And that rock, obviously, is Christ himself. We need to dig deeply to find that solid rock, which is the Word of God. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, "We know that you have come from God." He knew that there was something solid about Christ. He knew that the works that he did didn't come from man, but they came from heaven above. And so we see the builder that he set about to build. And as a result, it went slowly, but it went carefully, and it went purposefully as well. And then he pours into those foundations some solid material in order that it isn't going to move, because he knows that maybe one day there's going to be a test. Jesus said this man was wise because of the way that he worked at it. It wasn't the fact that there was plenty of room to build on. He wanted to choose the best building material and the best foundation to build with. You know, in our own lives, we see the same thing. We need to make sure that our footings in life are real, right? That they're lasting, that they're going to survive for eternity. Very often today, of course, people set out in life and they have some very, very strange goals in life. Some, of course, think that as long as they have a sufficient amount of money, that that's going to make life good and their life will be stable, because no matter what happens, they'll be able to buy their way out of it one way or another. Well, that is true, but there are some things in life you cannot buy, and that is length of days and our health, of course, as well. We need to make sure that we really get to the root of our problems. And the root of the problem is sin, not just weakness and not just bad habits and not just, you know, a bad temper or something like that. But the root of the problem is our sin, and we need to get to that very root itself. We need to have the courage to build upon what we have heard from the Word of God. That takes faith, genuine faith. And so we take what God has said and we build upon it to know that it isn't going to move no matter what may come in life. And Christ, of course, commended the man because he built upon what was solid. Christ is the solid rock. You remember when he said to Peter, he said, "Peter, your name is Petros," which literally means a stone, "but upon this solid rock," and he was speaking of himself, he said, "I will build my church." And that was the practice, and that was the very goal of Christ, that it would be built upon him who was the solid rock, because there is no other foundation than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus, the Apostle Paul said. And then we see, of course, the foolish builder. If I can get it here. And the foolish builder, he didn't believe in that the rock was necessary. And that's his main problem. He just didn't believe. Like so many people today, they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe what God says. They don't believe that there's anything necessary outside himself. And this man was the same. After all, you know, the ground looked good and it looked quite solid and he could start building right away. And it would take far too much money and effort and everything to dig down to try to find a bedrock of some form or another. And therefore, because of that, he thought he could just start right away. Nowadays, there are many good systems. There are many good ideas. There are many even false religions that seem to say the right thing at the right time. And they seem to be able to cure everybody's problems, even some of the very deep things with just a few platitudes here or there. And many promise success and solutions to their problems and an easy fix in one way or another. But there's no real foundation, and it works okay while everything is going good. And that is the problem. The Christian life isn't really apparent very much until things begin to get difficult. And there will always come times when things will get difficult. And so as a result, we see when things become difficult, then that's the real test of what we are built upon and what we have faith in. The very stones which the builders rejected, Peter says, that is the stone which is unmovable and has caused them to stumble. That is the rock that will make them stumble because they don't realize that it is Christ that is immovable. It is Christ that isn't going to change no matter what the changing of society is. And society will always change. But in the end, we come back to the foundation of what Christ has laid for us. And so this man, he built, and he built very hastily. And he starts right on the top of the ground, and didn't take long to get it up very, very fast. And it looked good, and to the untrained eye, it probably was quite appealing as well. But you know, nowadays, to say that something is easy is a success story. You know, all you have to do is just one or two points and that's okay, you know. Then you'll get away with it. It's something like that new toy you get, whatever it is, you know, a cell phone or a tablet or a laptop. Oh, easy start, three easy steps, you know. 2 hours later, you're still punching in numbers on it, you know. Yeah, and it was easy, so it was. But, you know, that's not really what happens. And life is like that as well. Everybody says it's easy. All you have to do is this or that or the other thing. A little bit more exercise, a little bit more investment, a little bit harder work, you know. Get a new idea and everything will be fine. But, you know, there's nothing easy in life. There's nothing even easy in heaven, for that matter. There never has been. It took a great effort for Christ to come to this world and to bear our sins away. It was very, very hard. It was extremely difficult. It was the very end of his endurance. And the scripture says that he endured for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame because of the reward that was going to be given, which is his people. So many, of course, look to other methods for some of the most troublesome things in life. And often they miss the very point that Christ alone is the only one that can solve our problems. But here we see the builder, he thought that this was good enough. And so he put up his house as quickly as possible. But then we see the two rewards. And there's always rewards for what we do in life. There's always rewards for what we live for in some form or another. But everything, of course, will have the content in it, exactly what we have put into it. And the reward we get out is exactly what we have poured in. And some will receive their rewards immediately, as Jesus said to the Pharisees. They've got their reward, the praise of men on the street corner. Some will receive it at the end of the month in the form of a paycheck, shall we say. Some, of course, others will have to wait maybe a very long time, maybe even into eternity, before they really see the full reward of what they have done. But some things we notice as well, of course, that it's going to take a great deal of time. In fact, one of the principles of life is the longer we wait for it, the greater will be the reward, because there's an accumulating effect of rewards. There's an accumulating effect of even the punishments of hell. And there's also accumulating effect of the rewards that Christ is going to give out. It's always at the end of everything. And that is so critical to our lives. Be sure that every deed that we do will receive a reward. Even sin brings a reward, doesn't it? The wages of sin is death, right? But the gift of God is eternal life, yeah. And so what we see here is something amazing. Both of these men got the reward that they thought was necessary. One got a house built upon a rock, the other one got it built up on the sand, but it was good enough, and they felt it was good enough. And because, of course, their houses seemed to be very much the same. One was done a little sooner, maybe, than the other. And their work looks successful. And that is true if everything is normal and everything goes along peaceful. But we know what Murphy's Law says. And Murphy's Law says if anything can go wrong, it'll go wrong. And believe me, it did go wrong. The rain began to fall. And it fell. And it rained, and it fell, and it rained. And, of course, with it, of course, came the floods. And with the floods came the wind. And what we notice here is that everything just seemed to culminate and collectively come together to test what was built and what was made. Even in everyday life, there are times of severe testing and troubles and other things. And as we well know, it never seems to come in single events, does it? It always seems to come one on top of the other, so it does, yeah? And the battery runs out in the car, or you run out of gas, or whatever it happens to be, and it just all seems to happen at the same time. Well, this is exactly what took place here, right? The wind was bad enough, but when the floods began to come, well then, now we're really in serious trouble as to what's going to happen to the foundation, yeah? The important thing we notice here as well, it came on the just and the unjust alike. Right? God's blessings are on the just and the unjust, Jesus said. But so are the trials of life. It comes on the just and the unjust equally. Just because we are believers doesn't mean that we are immune to some of the problems and troubles and trials of life itself. And so we see that they both receive a testing. There was both a trial in the life that they were living and in the building that they had put up. And so because of that, they received the rewards of what they had done. But you know, what about people at the end of this age that we live in? Jesus talked a lot about the end of the world and the end of the age and the time when everything would be wound up. And he said, it's going to be a terribly troublesome time. Wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilence and earthquakes and like never been seen before. And all kinds of horrible things are going to happen. And when the world's on fire, as Peter says, what are we going to do? Where's our real reward at that time? Well, for the believer, of course, they've been taken out of this world. They do not have to go through that time of tribulation. For the unbeliever, it's going to be too horrible to even imagine as such. And so because of that, we see here their houses are tested severely. Are they going to be safe or are they going to be secure? Are they going to survive or are they not going to survive? Well, the first thing we notice is the wise man's reward. And the basic thing it comes down to is he was saved. Very simple. Huh? Because he built upon the rock, his house was safe. And as a result, there was no fears at all as to what was coming. It's almost like the psalmist in Psalm 27 where he says, he will set me high upon a rock. His house was safe. There was a depth to his work. There was a permanence in his foundation. There was a surety in what he had done, and therefore he knew that he was safe. You know, the true believer in Christ, of course, has their life built upon Christ for protection. And though he and she may have to endure some of the storms of life, they recognize that they will not be destroyed. Even some of the most severe things in life, you know, is there all the time. On a cellar in Germany was found these words, and the building had been reduced to rubble, and it was towards the end of the war. Somebody had written these words, which was quite amazing. The sun may not shine, the stars may not come out, and yet God is. What an amazing thing, eh? No matter what happened, yet God is. You know? And that is a remarkable thing. We may well, you know, try to find out exactly why things happen in our lives. And many times Scripture doesn't explain why things happen to people or why they didn't happen. It just happened. And our response to it is obviously very, very critical. But what we see, of course, is the fact that God encourages us to place our lives on him in a very solid way. My hope is in the Lord. That's very, very simple. That's all that is necessary. No matter what may happen, no matter what may come, we know that our hope is in the Lord. Well, we see the foolish man, and we can sum his life up in one thing, and that was loss. He lost his house. He lost everything because of the shifting sands. We have seen this happen many times, of course, and even in our own days where people have built too near to the shore or too near to the edge of a cliff or whatever it happens to be. And it all looks good at first, but as the rains come and the rains come and the rains come and they never seem to stop, everything begins to slide. And time again, we've seen people lose their houses. And for this man, it was disaster, of course. It fell. And many today, maybe even some that we know, are building their lives on shaky foundations, because there is nothing permanent in our world, our country, our government, our system, whatever it happens to be. We've been very fortunate in Canada that we've avoided a lot of the major turmoils and that have gone on in the world, but nothing is permanent forever. Many today may be building their lives on shifting sands and not realizing that there's no future at all, trusting in things that others say are going to last forever, and they just don't last forever at all. Relying maybe upon, you know, their good works or self-righteousness or their good efforts or thinking that somehow they'll get by one way or another. But when the storms come along and maybe the sickness or the catastrophes or something like that, they realize that there's nothing there of any real value. And so it's all washed away, as it were, and there's spiritual disaster because there's nothing there to fall upon. In Proverbs 1:24, we read, I have called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not open their ears to the Lord. Are we listening to the instruction of the Lord? How much are we listening to the instruction of the Lord? Is it making a change, what we hear? Are we acting upon what we hear and say, you know, this is what the Lord says. This is what the world says, but this is what the Lord says, and I'm going to trust what the Lord says. He that has ears to hear, Jesus said, let him hear. And they heard him, and they heard him, and they heard him, but many of them did not listen carefully. The reward for listening well is to find that rock of everlasting life, which is Christ himself. Many years ago, a hardened unbeliever went one day to see, but not to hear, George Whitefield. He'd heard a lot about the man that was having great success in his preaching, and many were turning to the Lord, and he didn't want to be affected by it, but he wanted to take in the spectacle of all the crowds that were there and how this man was able to move those crowds with his preaching. And so he climbed up into a tree so that he'd get a good view, much like Zacchaeus, and he put his fingers in his ear and he began to perceive what was taking place in the crowd and in the preaching as well. It so happened that a pesky little fly, rather persistent, came and kept landing on his nose. And he kept wrinkling his nose and shaking his head. And finally, he couldn't do anything else but take his finger out of his ear and brush the fly away. And right at that moment, George Whitefield actually quoted that verse, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And the man suddenly was caught with what was spoken. And he began to listen very carefully. And he was so captivated that he not only opened his ears to hear better, but he also opened his heart and believed the words that were spoken to him. Jesus said, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." That's very important. Even though they've heard, even though they may have heard many things, right? And though so many things look good now and so many things sound good and they may even promise a lot of good, of course, what we see is the fact that often it doesn't survive even the scrutiny of today's world, let alone God's world, when we have to give an account of it. And so because of that, Jesus said, "I declare to them, I never knew you," because we did not listen carefully. Like the builder that cannot believe and wasting his time looking for a good foundation, many, of course, are astounded to realize that the things that they have based their life on has been quite useless and maybe too late itself. In their seeking and their searching, they forgot the solid rock, which is Christ. You know, every time we come back to this single most important factor, is Christ at the center of our lives? Is Christ the foundation of our lives? If he's not, there's nothing else that is going to survive the test of time. The storms and the testing will come and they will go. But in times like these, we need a Savior. We need a solid rock. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Let's sing in closing a couple of verses of that hymn 404, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for truly what you have accomplished in our lives, what you've been able to give to us, what you have showed to us, and what you have taught us. And we pray that we might truly act upon each one, that we have ears to hear, and that you would speak to us, and that your Spirit might touch our hearts and our souls in a very special way to open those spiritual ears in order that we might hear you speaking clearly to us. And so, Lord, we pray that we might be truly like Samuel of old. When you called him and spoke to him, he said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth." And we ask, Lord, that we might truly have that same spirit, that in everything we do, that we hear your voice guiding and leading and directing us in the path that we should go. So be with us and help us and guide us as we go. And we pray that your hand would be upon us for good and that you would take us safely to our homes and that above all, that you would help us truly to be a witness and a testimony to you that others could see that our hope is in Christ alone. For we ask it in his name. Amen.